Good afternoon, brethren. I'm not a coffee drinker. And I had 3 cups this morning. I appreciate the song, We Will Glorify, because I'm going to be talking about, in fact, my title would be Restoring the Glory of God. Restoring the glory of God. Let's look at John chapter 17, if you would. So if I get overly glorified up here, it's the caffeine. It's not really me. John 17 and verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus said, glorify me now with that glory that I had with you before the world even was. And in verse 23, I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved them. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus says that I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Jesus is praying, restore the glory that I had with you before the world was. If you would, turn to Romans 8. And in verse 16, Romans 8, verse 16, it says that we will be glorified with him. Romans 8, 16. Says there in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you're a child of someone, then you're the same genetic makeup, wouldn't you? And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed you suffer with him, that we may also, what? Be glorified together. We also may be glorified together. And in verse 30, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? So Jesus is going to be restored to the glory which he had from the foundation of the earth, or before the foundation of the world. And we will be glorified with him. How? Well, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's our hope, Christ in us. We can see that in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 26. Colossians 1, verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to who? To his saints. That's who it's been revealed to. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So how will this come to pass and come about? Let's look at a little history of the God's glory here on the earth. If you remember in Exodus 13, I should turn there, Exodus 13, verse 21. Exodus 13, verse 21. You remember the cloud that led Israel, the cloud and the fire. Exodus 13, 21. And the Eternal went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. So there was a pillar, there was a cloud, and there was a pillar of fire. And if we turn over to Exodus 25, Exodus 25, here God says, is telling them, let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Let's look at Exodus 25. Verse 8 and 9. And let them make me a sanctuary or a sacred place, that I may dwell among them, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is in the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all of its furnishing, just so you shall make it. In other words, you make it as I'm instructing you. As I'm instructing you, you make this tabernacle. And so they made the tabernacle. There was many offerings. I believe there was more than they could even receive. And we see now, and if we turn to Exodus 40, we see after that tabernacle was finished, the glory of God filled that tabernacle. Exodus 40, 1 and 2. Okay, it's all right. I'm still standing. Okay, then the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. You shall put in it the ark of the testimony and partition off the ark with the veil. So there, the ark was placed behind the veil there in that tabernacle. And we'll see there in verse 33, same chapter, Exodus 40. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. And remember the cloud that led Israel. And it says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, in verse 34. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of the meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Eternal filled that tabernacle. And in verse 38, we see, remember back in Exodus 21, the cloud and the fire. In verse 38, it says, for the cloud of the Eternal was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. They moved the tabernacle, and Joshua took it into the Gentile lands, into the land of promise. The rabbis later designated the glory by the term Shekinah of glory, meaning indwelling of glory there in that tabernacle. Later, that God's glory came to dwell in the temple built by Solomon. And we know that, I won't turn back to 2 Chronicles, but under the wings of the cherubim was the ark the Ark of the Covenant. So later, God's glory came to dwell in the temple built by Solomon. In 2 Chronicles, I will turn back there. 2 Chronicles. I'll just go to chapter 7. And Solomon, he gives a dedication and like a prayer from verse 41 on through to chapter 7. And asking God's blessing there on that temple. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. So we see that later God's glory came to dwell in the temple built by Solomon. And you know, Solomon dedicated the temple. After his prayer, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. We'll read there in verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, notice fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. And there's examples in the Bible of God's fire and glory coming down. I'd like to read from the United Church of God Bible commentary, basically on Ezekiel, but God chose to allow his presence to remain in the temple for centuries. But the Jews continued in false worship, bringing in adulterous worship and idols actually into the temple. But the presence of God did not leave Jerusalem temple prior to its looting, but it did leave prior to the looting and the destruction by the Babylonians. God's glory was in the temple, but it left. I think we'll see later that we are the temple of God. God had warned Israel about this beforehand. If we would turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 31, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Let's see here. Yeah. Deuteronomy 31, verse 18. We'll go through verse 16 through 18. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot." He said, "You're going to go, and when the leader's gone, people's going to begin doing their own thing. They're going to play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land." That's how you play the harlot, is with other gods, with other priorities besides the Almighty God. They'll play the harlot, the gods of the foreigners of the land where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me, and they will break my covenant which I have made with them. Verse 17, then what will happen? Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, what will they say? Have not these evils come upon us? Why? Because our God is not among us. No. God warned them that there'll come a time because of evil, because of placing other gods before that God they covenanted with. They made that covenant. Israel did. But if they play the harlot, he said, because They'll say, because God is not among us. So let's look at the glory of God departing. If you'll turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 8. Here's just a vision. And it is there's a vision, Ezekiel 8, verse 1. Here where God took Ezekiel in a vision to Jerusalem. Ezekiel was in captivity. God took him in vision to Jerusalem, and he see the glory of God was there. And he says, do you not see what they're doing? So we'll read here in verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and who with? The elders of Judah, setting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me. Now here he is with the rulers of Judah. I wonder what they were discussing. Ezekiel the prophet's talking to them. In verse 3, and he stretched out the form of a hand and took me by the lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. They'd gone far enough that actually in the temple of God, there was an idol set. So was God going to hang around there? Going to hang out with an idol? Same with us. You know, is God going to hang out with an idol? And behold, it says in verse 4, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. We'd have to go back to Ezekiel 1. We see that he saw the vision, and it's like a whirlwind and fire, and the throne, portable throne of God, was there, the wind and the fire. And in verse 6, furthermore, he said to me, son of man, do you see what they're doing, the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here? He says, see what they're doing right here? Then watch it says, to make me go far away from my sanctuary. In a commentary, it says that I should be compelled by sin to leave this sanctuary. Yeah. God be compelled because of sin to leave that sanctuary. And then, of course, in chapter 8, it goes on to describe the adulterous worship that was going on in the temple of God. And I'll read a little more from the Bible commentary, UCG, concerning Ezekiel 9, 10, and 11. But if you would turn to chapter 9, and I might just read verse 3, Ezekiel 9, 3. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub. Remember the cherubs that wings and the mercy seat underneath, the lid of the mercy seat was, you know, of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, like the seat of God. And it says the glory of God of Israel had gone up from there, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple, moved to the threshold of the temple. Move to the threshold of the temple. Let's see, verse 3. And now the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed in linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And then he called and he gives a description of taking the coals of fire and scattering them over Jerusalem, type of what was going to happen to Jerusalem. Says here in the commentary, it says Ezekiel 10 begins with the image of the living cherubim carrying God's throne. If you would read that about the God's throne, God gives the order to the man in the linen to gather coals of fire from between the cherubim and scatter them over the city of Jerusalem. That's in 10, verse 1 through 3. This symbolizes that God has now judged the city, and it is to be punished and burned, as when like Sodom and Gomorrah was. The glory or presence of God then begins to move. And it says the step-by-step exit from Jerusalem is recorded for us. Basically, that's the end of that quote. And in Ezekiel 11:23, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city. It had moved to the threshold. It went up from the midst of the city, Ezekiel 11:23. You could see, I was just going to quote, but and the glory of the Lord there in Ezekiel 11:23 went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain which on the east side of the city. What mountain is that? It's the Mount of Olives. And there we assume that the glory of God ascended to heaven. And just the glory of God did not occupy the second temple built by Ezra during the time of Ezra, Nehemiah. After the Jews returned from exile, they went into captivity. And after Jerusalem, the Babylonians came, destroyed the temple. The glory of God had already departed. Those that had confidence in the temple, without the glory of God, the temple, it wasn't anything without the glory of God. But we see the glory of God did not occupy that second temple. But there is hope of glory to come, and that is Christ in us is the hope of glory. I would like to turn to Acts 7, and we see Stephen, and Acts 7, because there was a temple there too also, wasn't there? There was a temple built by Herod. Acts 7. And here's Stephen had preached, he'd become very bold, filled with God's Spirit. Verse 44, Acts 7. And I'll just go on to verse 44. And our fathers had made the tabernacle, which we had read some about, of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed. And Stephen's here preaching Christ, as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had been given. We had read about that. Which our fathers, having received it, in turn also it was brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor with God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. But then Solomon built him a house. And we saw that the glory of God filled Solomon's temple. However, the Most High, then he begins verse 48. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Verse 49, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Eternal, or what is the place of my dwelling? Has not my hand Has my hand not made all these things? Then he goes on, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised of heart. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And again, we see a reference to the glory of God in verse 55. But he, being, and Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. And what did he see? He saw the glory of God. Didn't say he didn't see the Father. He saw the glory of God. And what? And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. See how Jesus was standing. He wasn't sitting on a throne or in the recliner. He was standing. You know, like in a sports event, when it comes down to it and they make the last move, people are standing, aren't they? In that cheer. So they gnashed at him and they stoned Stephen as he was what? Calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So you see, there was a glimpse of the glory of God. And we won't need to read there, but if you remember the shepherds that came to see the newborn Christ, the glory of God shone around those shepherds. You know, the coming of Christ in the flesh was in essence God coming to dwell with human beings. But he had given up that glory that he had before the foundation of the world. We know in John 1:1, the Word was with God, and he became flesh in verse 14. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten. So Jesus came, in essence, the glory of God. You know, even his name in Matthew 1 is called Emmanuel, God with us. God's temple is now his church. The people whom he dwells in through his spirit. And we've seen that God's filled the tabernacle, his glory, Solomon's temple. But he was no longer there. Why? Because it had become a place of sin and had replaced God with idols. And we know in 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God? I mean, can we comprehend that as actually being the temple of God now? Solomon built a fabulous building, overlaid gold everywhere. I'm sure the Babylonians financed a lot of war and other things with all that wealth. But that's when the glory of God left. That's all it was a temple then. It was a building. The glory of God, Christ in us, God in us. Without that, what are we? Just some flesh and bones and turned to dirt. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. I didn't turn to 3, but we'll go to Ephesians 2. I say Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, Ephesians 2, 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Members of the household of God. And in verse 20, we see that we grow into a holy temple, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. in whom you also are being built together for a what? A dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Remember, he dwelt in the tabernacle, he dwelt in Solomon's temple, and even there, Mr. Nunn mentioned the burning bush, the glory of God seemed to be nearby. You are the temple of God. God's dwelling in us is a condition, though. It is a condition. I won't turn there, but you could read John 14. The whole chapter shows the conditions for God to dwell in us. Like in verse 23. We saw in Ezekiel that the glory of God left the temple and ascended from the Mount of Olives. The glory of God left the temple, ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. You remember where Jesus departed after his resurrection? Let's look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In verse 9, we see that a cloud received him up. There's a cloud out of their sight in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. I'm going to read through verse 12. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, remember all those 12 he chose were from Galilee. Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go. And in verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from where? From the mount called Olivet. Jesus also was taken up. So he will return. If we look in Matthew 24, we must see that he's coming in the clouds of heaven. Maybe I should turn there. Matthew 24, in verse 30. He was taken up in a cloud from the Mount of Olives. Then the sign of the Son of Man, Matthew 24, verse 30, will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And we'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Why will they be mourning? Well, have you noticed what's going on? Right is now wrong. Wrong is now right. It's like this world is not calling sinners, but the righteous to repentance. People that have standards and believe God, they're being called on to repent and turn around and accept the abominations of this world. But you see, Son of Man will appear, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Oh, he's coming with great glory. Glory of God returns. Let's look at Zechariah 14. If you would, please. Zechariah 14. In verse 3. Zechariah 14, verse 3. And 4. Then the Eternal, YHWH, will go forth and fight against those nations. And as he fights in the day of battle, in that day his feet will what? Stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. Remember, the glory of God departed from the mount on the east. And the mount will split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south. And notice in verse 5, then you shall flee through my mountain valley, and the valley shall reach to Azazel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord, my God, will come and all the saints with you. Yes, and all the saints with you. All the saints with you. The glory of God returns. As I'd like to read from the commentary again, the glory of God returns to the newly completed temple. Yes, when Christ returns, there will be a temple. If you read in Ezekiel, the construction of it, the size of it, well, that God's glory will return to the temple. So let's turn back to Ezekiel chapter 43. See, Christ's feet stands on the Mount of Olives. The glory of God departed from the Mount of Olives. Jesus Christ ascended from the Mount of Olives. Ezekiel 43. In verse 2, and we'll read 4 and 5. Ezekiel 43, verse 2. Well, I'll just start in verse 1. Afterwards, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. Remember, we'd read some about that. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. He came from the way of the east, and his glory shone. He shone with his glory. In verse 4, and the glory of the Lord, the Eternal, came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, or the house. Yes, the glory of God returned to the temple after Christ's return during the millennium. Brethren, we're called and granted repentance, right? I mean, if we just go on with our life and then all at once things started happening, and we started to see that, hey, we wasn't quite as good as we thought we were. We wasn't quite, didn't have the standard. So little by little, we begin through God's Spirit to chip away at that old way. You know, and we look pretty good, you know, at first. Wow, you make some really physical changes right off, and things are looking good. Mind me, when I was washing windows there at the house. Man, I thought, you know, that's first you sprayed them down with a hose. Red dirt was running down. Man, look at this. This is clean. Then I got looking, well, you know, the window's not that clean. And Susan's inside looking out. You know, it's really not that clean. Okay. So then I get the stuff out, the squeegee, and I'm, well, you know, the screens are dirty. So, you know, I didn't realize that. So then I do some more cleaning. And it's kind of like we are. We clean, we make some progress, and then as we make progress, we're able to see more that we didn't see before. So I go and I scrub the windows and I squeeze them down, and man, I mean, that is crystal clear. What a fantastic job. Till I go in the house and the sun's shining through. And the smears are, you know, the raindrops that have blown on there, so you can still see them. So what I thought was really clean, but it was progress, wasn't it? It was progress. And that's what we're looking for, is progress as the temple of God. Come, you know. And you know, we just observed the days of unleavened bread and eating unleavened bread. But spiritually speaking, we don't stop eating unleavened bread, do we? We don't now spiritually start eating leavened bread. You know, if I clean the windows and then I go out there and just kick up dust and put them back like they were, what have I done? No, we're moving toward perfection, having Christ in us, the hope of glory, restoring the glory of God. And God is restoring his glory in each of us, you know, as an ongoing process. There was another scripture I think I wanted to read, but I missed it somehow. Maybe it wasn't need to be read. I'm sure it was. I just forgot about it. Well, I don't see it here now. So I read, I didn't read 2 Corinthians 6:16, did I? I read 1 Corinthians. Might go back and read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6, because I had a 1 Corinthians 6, and I had a 2 Corinthians 6. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Maybe I should have had another cup of coffee. Up with this. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16. And, we'll just start in verse 15 because this kind of fits in with what happened to the temple in Jerusalem and what even was happening in Herod's temple, how it had become a den of thieves. In verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 6, "In what accord has Christ with Belial?" There's what connection, what harmony can Christ have with this world, with the paganism of it? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? In verse 16, "In what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" And that's what one of the things that as Christ in us, we begin to see idols that in the beginning we probably never recognized as idols. But what agreement has a temple of God with idols? "For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, what? I will dwell in them." He will dwell in them. The glory of God went in the temple. "And I'll walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God will actually be in. He is in us. And he said, "I will be in them." And he walks with us in the beginning. God is with people, walking with them, bringing them to the point. Because you remember after Christ's resurrection, I don't remember exactly where it is, but Christ was walking with them, and they weren't really understanding. And it says, "And he opened their mind, and they understood." So That's happened to each one of us. Yes, and then God opened our mind. And we see that back in Daniel chapter 7. If you would. Daniel chapter 7. In verse 27, I believe, 7:27 of Daniel. And before this, it tells of a power persecuting the saints. And they're in verse 25, they intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given to his hand for a time and times and half a time. Yeah. Saints will be given to his hand for 3.5 years. But then in verse 26, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion, that's the beast, to consume and destroy it. Then the kingdom and dominion, the beast power is going to be the rescue of this world. As if you're watching what's going on, the trend is, it's a dead-end street. It's destruction in high gear right now. It may slow down, may accelerate. I don't know. I've seen it over the past 50 years accelerate, and then something will happen, and things will stabilize for a while. But usually that just gives people time to go back to sleep, and kind of drift off from God. There was some people I've known for years, when the things happened there in the 90s, or they just quit going to church. They didn't go anywhere. But you know what? They had all these booklets. They still had these booklets from the church. And every time I'd see them, they'd kind of want to get updated. What's the church? Well, what are you doing now? Events had happened. Well, what do you think about that? Just kind of keeping in touch, kind of feeling over here. When they play basketball, what do they call it? You kind of touch the guy. When I was playing, you wasn't supposed to touch. But now you kind of touch and you follow him. Well, anyway, they're kind of keeping in touch. But this past week, my son delivered a box, and he said it was from them. And the box was full of all those booklets from Bible courses, the Bible story books. And I told my son, I said, it just, it seems like a last goodbye. The last goodbye. Isn't that sad? The last goodbye. We've hung on to these for 20 years or however many it's been longer than that. They've always been there if we need them. But now we're turning them in. The last goodbye. That's the way I felt. It was like, okay, this is it. I don't know if they're thinking that, but you turn in your resignation. I've turned in my resignation. The cares and the problems are no longer, I'm not going to deal with them. I'm exaggerating there because I don't know if that's really what, but why hang on to these all these years? At a time when you'd think that people would be hungering and thirsting, what's going on? As one among the same people said, well, we don't need the book because we got the internet now. If we ever want to see it, we can look it up. Is that the truth? Google, Facebook, they can shut you down. We could be off of the internet. And if we don't have the word, then it says, where is it? When the prophets, they'll run to and fro looking for the for the truth, and they can't find it because they've turned in their resignation. They've turned in their books. They've quit. So Daniel 7, did I finish that? Verse 27. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's what. His kingdom is the everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. That is coming. There pretty soon it's going to be, this is the way it is. You're going to serve the real God. And if we turn over to chapter 12 in Daniel, we see here those that do not turn in their resignation. You know, they haven't said their goodbye. Daniel 12, verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and what? Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. But what about verse 3? Those who are wise, what will they? They will shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. That brightness, you know, God's glory that we cannot even look upon. You know, the wise shall shine. And I had one more scripture. I may go ahead and do it. It doesn't really fit for this time. It seems more like a Feast of Tabernacles, but I thought it interesting in the final. In Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, and this is a time when we remember we talked about the new temple and the glory of God being restored to that new temple in that time of the millennium. And in verse 3, and it says in Isaiah 4, and it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion, he who is left, you know, are we still going to be left in Zion? You know, it's, most everybody's gone and remains in Jerusalem, will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord, verse, has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from our midst. That's what many don't stop and think. This is going to be purged. It is going to be purged. Even though they think, well, things have always been this way. It's never, you know, I expected it then. I expected it there. And it didn't happen. From her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Verse 5, then the Eternal will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies, what? A cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, like he led Israel out of Egypt. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be, in verse 6, a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, for a shelter from the storm, and from the shelter of the storm and the rain. So, brethren, the glory of God will be restored, and we definitely will have a part in it.